Happy Sabbath. It's a privilege to be here. I'm not worthy to stand here, but I wanted to share what God has been teaching me over 12 years. This is the kind of sermon which you might run me out of town for sharing. And that's all right. That's all right. But these are lessons which God has taught me. Things that my heart needed to hear and know. And what I wished I had known when I had started ministry 12 years ago. But I share with you in the context that I've not arrived. I'm just like a hiker on a trail who's made it past some rough, steep switchbacks into a clearing. I'm finally in the clearing. And there's space to rest. And there's flat land to luxuriate in. And there's water to drink. But I'm by no means finished with this journey. And I haven't experienced all that this mountain has to show me. But I can pause and I can share how I made it this far and what I wish I knew before I set out on my journey. I'm going to offer another prayer that, Lord, you would just guide me as I speak, guide everyone who hears to hear what you're speaking to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So Brian and Teresa Roth, their parents, Norita, and they were here just a few months ago. They took me on my first backpacking trip somewhere around 2006, and it was excruciating and glorious. And I wish, what did you say?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I knew not to pack so much in my bag. as much as I needed provisions and a sleeping bag, I also needed to be agile and unburdened on my journey too, which would have made travel a lot easier, a whole lot less taxing. But I didn't know. I didn't know how to balance my need for practical support, food and water with personal freedom that I needed to actually get up and down the trail. So too much of one or the other would have led to some difficult challenges. And while I needed that practical support, too much of it may have prevented me from reaching my destination at all. I may have fainted along the way or wearied or injured myself so that I wouldn't be able to continue. And while I needed personal freedom, I needed to be able to walk with ease and even a bounce in my step. You know, too light a pack may have meant I'd neglected some necessary supplies that were going to keep me alive in this wilderness. So I'm glad that advancements are being made that allow for lighter packing while supplying all of your necessities. And perhaps that's what wisdom and experience does. And that's what I hope to share today. Experiences, hopefully wisdom gained from 12 years of various kinds of ministry. And no, I haven't arrived. I don't understand it all. But I'm grateful I've come this far. And I'm hoping that for the next stage of the journey, there'll be a lighter, more useful pack. So what I wish I had known. Sometimes the extra burden we carry in our pack is that of other people's advice, opinions, or life goals. And we do need a little wisdom from others. You know, plans fail for lack of counsel. We need wisdom for others for success in our journeys. But too much becomes a burden, and it hindered us on the path that God has marked out for us. I've heard so many things over the years, things that other people had internalized a truth for them. You know, I would have loved to live with my mother all my life, I've heard. You know, I didn't necessarily want to live with my mother all my life, but, you know, what this person wants to. Or someone told me, sometimes I wish I were a man. You know, being a woman is just so hard, so limiting. You know, someone tell me, I wish I were a man. You know, that would be the way to be. And I was supposed to make sense of that. Or people tell me, you know, with great intention, it's so much better to be single than to be married, you know. That was true for them. Or, I've eaten enough, so you've got to be full too. Or, I'm not hungry, so why are you? Just other people's body constitutions, everything, you know. Thought I should be just the same way. Or you look too nice today, or you look too homely, or I couldn't please everyone with all the ideas and opinions they brought to me about myself. And I thought about it. If Christ had taken heed of every idle comment made about him, he would have internalized he was Beelzebub, you know, that he was a sinner, that he was a wine bibber, that he was a glutton. He would have set up an earthly kingdom rather than a spiritual one that we can benefit from today. His ways and his actions didn't please everyone around him, and this was okay. People-pleasing wasn't his mission. I had to learn the hard way that we're all influenced by our own particular circumstances, and we don't all see our duty alike. Ellen White says this beautifully in Ministry of Healing, chapter 41. And I love it, but it finally really made sense to me in the past few years. She says, we differ so widely in our disposition, our habits, our education, our ways of looking at things vary. We judge differently. And our understanding of truth, our ideas in regard to the conduct of life are not in all respects the same. There are no two whose experience is alike in every particular. This became all too clear to me in 2020. Suddenly, when I had known only spiritual harmony with my brothers and sisters in Christ, suddenly my unique cultural heritage, my place of employment at the hospital, perhaps my age, my race, my gender, all led me to view world events in a wholly different light than many around me. And suddenly I realized that not every strong opinion held by people that I respected in the church was gospel truth. I began to see how culture and context greatly shaped our worldviews. And it was painful to experience at first. And the quarantine restrictions became a shelter for me in which I could hide while I sorted through all my conflicting and disappointed thoughts. And what did I conclude? That all should see events just like me? How nice. But that's not necessarily God's way. I had to learn to respect my own experience and position, which freed me to understand and respect that of others. Would to God that we could be united in every point of life, but the reality is that there are issues which we will be free to disagree with on and see differently than others. Even Paul had to counsel the church in regard to the eating of food offers to idols and the keeping of feast days. Let every man be convinced in his own mind. Personal opinions and cultural perspectives need not become a duty for all. And while I would love it if everyone could be converted to enjoy contemporary gospel music and hand clapping, that's not a necessity, and it's not my burden to share. But it is something I've learned varies by culture. Lay not your burden on another person. Set not yourself, your culture, your particular preferences as gospel. This is what I've learned. Taking some classes at the seminary taught me something I really, really wish I had known. There is a difference between commandments of God, which are what our doctrines are based on, teachings, which are often the writings of Ellen White, with specific counsel for specific people at a specific time, and then regional practices, which is cultural, and then private opinions. There's a difference. And how often have people tried to push their private opinions, the lowest on the totem pole, as infallible doctrine, or considered their regional or cultural ideas as gospel? Christ has made our duty so simple. The Ten Commandments, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We must be careful the weight we place on our own ideas. For women in the church, in ministry, recognize that God is calling women into his vineyard, but our work may not look like that of men. In fact, you may not look like a man. You don't. God created you differently. And it's okay. I had the chance to hear Pastor Canwell speak for the first time last Sabbath, and her way, she said, I wish I were one of those fire and brimstone preachers and could really drive a message home. But her way was so clear and calm and comforting. And she talked about the love of God, and it was like a balm in Gilead to me, you know. And I thought, I love that she just stays in the gifting that she has, not trying to be someone else in her ministry. Ellen White says in The Desire of Ages, you know, every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires our praise shall ascend to him marked by our own individuality. Our praise shall ascend to him marked by our own individuality. We aren't to live somebody else's life or become some other person. God is asking for our unique contribution with all that he's taught us and shown us and made us. This is what he wants us to share with the world. This is our testimony. This is our ministry. 15 years ago, I was getting ready to go to a camp meeting with a friend of mine. She's a mentor. She's like a mother to me. She's from a different culture. And she offered me a beautiful white high-collared t-shirt with ruffles, you know, ruffles up to the neck. And she thought I'd look so smart in this high-collared shirt, which was choking me. And one of our friends standing by said, you look very official, Lauren, very official. And she was kind of encouraging me to acknowledge that this outfit really wasn't for me. And I declined the ruffled top, and she offered me a smooth-fitted round neck shirt that was just perfect for me. And, you know, like David, I had to reject some helpful items others had given me with good intentions. But to walk in my own freedom and strength, you know, David knew he'd be weighed down by Saul's heavy sword. And so he declined this generous offer, and he focused instead on the slingshot and the 5 stones that he was used to using. It's not what most people would bring into a battle, and it's likely not what you would bring into a battle if you were put into a similar situation. But the point is that David knew what God had specifically equipped him to use for his glory. It wasn't that from anyone else. We're each to serve God, marked with our own individuality. What are the tools God has given you? What are the experiences and the wisdom that you have that no one else does? This is what he wants you to use. I wish I'd known that more truly before. I also wish I knew that people crave relationships where they're known and loved. And to know someone, you have to spend time, like knowing Jesus, sitting at his feet, learning of them, hearing their words. And, you know, chaplaincy is teaching me to deeply listen, to understand where another person's coming from. And, you know, God does this for us as he ministers to us. He lets us hold audience with him, and he sits there and he listens to us pour out our thoughts, our complaints, our worries, our fears for long stretches of time. He wants to sit and listen. I mean, that's what he invites us to do in prayer. And so why shouldn't we see the value in spending time in listening to others before we prescribe what they need? Even Jesus, knowing all things, asked someone who came to him, well, what do you want for me to do for you? When the blind man came to him, the blind man, it would be obvious what this man wanted. But Jesus asked him, and he listened to his answer, and it was simple, and it was quick. Lord, I want to receive my sight. And he received his sight. But the point is that Jesus asked him, and he listened for his response. I think we assume too much about a person's faith or lack of faith by our quick, superficial judgments. But what if we stopped and listened to the same people that we judge and realize how they've wrestled with God or are currently wrestling with God and where they've landed at that point in their journey? What if we respected the process that they're in with the Lord? Nobody's a finished work yet. Rather than scold them for not standing where we are today, things that we've learned through hard times. These are things I wish I knew with my family. When I was first converted, I was so zealous to tell them everything I knew that I did. I gave them all these books and these long letters and, you know, telling them what they needed to believe, and men rejected the light because the truth was not in them. And I was, you know, I just wish I knew to hear more of what they actually thought rather than just put on them what I thought. Someone handed me a book the other day, and I already had the book, but they didn't ask me that. They just assumed that I needed it. And my interactions with this person just left me feeling the assumptions always negative about me, that I'm found wanting, you know, that you're not good enough. Let me give you this. Let me show you what you need to do. You need that. I don't feel known and loved after these interactions. And I think it's important to realize as we do outreach, people want to be respected for where they are. And some might be just at the place where they're ready for that book. They say, thank you. Or some might say, oh, I already have it. No, thanks. Give it to someone else. And we can respect that too. But no, people, take time to listen. I wish I knew before that people who are not particularly Seventh-day Adventists, you know, are people that God is working with. And I knew this, but I needed to know it again, that he that is not against us is for us, as Christ said in Luke 9:50. I've worked at a Catholic hospital for the last 5 years, and I've worked with a wonderful group of interdenominational chaplains, and it's taught me not to assume the worst about other people. Look for the best and how the same Christ is leading and working. When it comes to relationships, I wish I knew the importance, you know, really the importance of friendships, just like our other Christian duties. Friendship is that important too. That's what can keep our body and soul alive in hard times, friendships. And I wish I realized just how vital they are. I'm grateful for the friendship of this Yuma Pine Church family, the Davis family and their hospitality many times coming to their home, the Carlin family and the wonderful times we've spent in ministry together going door to door, Kathy singing, Patty singing, Keith, you know, that keeps your soul alive. And God has blessed me so much with wonderful friendships. There's a family and college place that I stay with almost every week because it's close to the hospital. I'm on call. There's a Zicker family in Touche who've given me a home for these past 5 years. I mean, their hospitality, their friendship is incomparable. They're the Johnsons who are always there when you need them. And the Trethaways, who were my peers and have now moved on, but, you know, provided that Christian friendship that I really needed. And you know, Christ has promised us. You know, I tell you, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sister or father or mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, but in the age to come, eternal life. But I have found this promise to be so true. God has given me a wonderful family outside of my own physical family. And I have to give him thanks for his fulfilling his word. I wish I knew more about boundaries in relationships before I came here. Not to allow abuse or toxicity. To know that my voice, your voice matters, your thoughts and feelings matter too, even in a friendship. I wish I knew it was okay to step away from relationships which are toxic, codependent, or controlling. You know, even Jesus had to distance himself from a close friend, telling Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." There is a time to set healthy bounds in relationships that are crossing the line and leading you to unhealthy places. It is not our Christian duty to be so enmeshed with people that we take abuse or control. I wish I knew in my friendships, not to allow my burden to fix someone else, to get in the way of my ability to love them and be there for them. So while I buck against someone trying to control me, I've done the same to others. And I regret that I allowed my burden to fix someone to actually drive me apart from them. Sometimes the things which we find to be so egregious and so untenable in another person, we just harp on it so much that the other has to choose between changing according to our will or leaving the relationships. And sometimes they have to leave the relationship because they're not going to change like we want them to. I had a friend who I just really wanted to help. You know, it was just practical things. Like I just wished that she could just do better or have a different life, somehow do differently. And it came to the point that I just couldn't understand why she wasn't able to do more for herself. And all of my advice giving or questioning about her life and what was she going to do next, all of that ended up driving her away from me. And she died a few months later. I wish I knew that sometimes it's not our duty to fix someone or change someone, but it's just to be with them. Even if being with them means you're going to be with them through their death, through the end, through the things that don't change and that don't work out. I wish I had been able to be with her, but I couldn't. I was so focused on fixing her and changing her. But that's not our duty. When we bear responsibility for other people's choices, that's codependency. And that's another unhealthy weight to remove from our knapsacks, when we take responsibility for how other people live their lives. I wish I knew. I wish I knew before that it's better to love and to lose than not to have loved someone at all. That no time spent earnestly loving another person is wasted. And Paul says something which I just think is wonderful. He says, let love be without dissimulation, Romans 12:9. Dissimulation means acting in bad faith, deception, pretending to entertain one set of intentions while acting under the influence of another. So what that means is, if you love someone, let them know. Don't pretend you don't really care, or you're indifferent, or it doesn't really matter to you. Let them know. Don't pretend to be or feel something you don't. And this means you can love freely without fear. And for me, it meant I could have been upfront with someone I was dating about actually wanting to be married, but I was afraid, didn't want to scare them away. And so I was dissimulating. I was pretending to be on one side when I really was on another. And it bit me in the end. But wait for the love which loves you back. And that's what I found in my fiancé, Duane. He is my man from the sky. You know, for years, I'm just like, God's going to have to drop down a man from the sky for me. And, you know, I'd come to the point where I'd pretty much given up on that whole thing, and that wasn't going to happen. And then God sent Duane, and he's this man from the sky that just is more than I could have asked or imagined. And thing about it is, he's just so caring, and he's so sweet, and he's so kind. Like, I didn't know there were men like you that weren't married already that existed. And so it just reminds me of another one of my favorite scriptures. I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. It's been more than 12 years that I've waited, and God has been faithful. I had almost given up. I wish I knew that natural desires for companionship, marriage, and childbearing need not be minimized, denied, or spiritualized away. Marriage is holy. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And the virgins of Revelation are spiritually pure, not necessarily people who've never had sex. And so I wish I had known these things. I knew them, but sometimes you can know something but practice another thing. And so I wish I knew not to pretend that these things didn't matter to me. But at the same time, I learned not to fret myself into or out of a situation just because of these wants, and to trust God to provide. God cares about the least thing that concerns our peace. And I think about the Shunammite woman that Elisha stayed with when he came to visit a town. You know, he was concerned about her needs. They're like, what can we do for her? And his servant said, well, she doesn't have a child. And I'm like, well, get her a child, you know. And the child was born. And, you know, God also considers our situation. What can we do for her? What can we do for you? What do they need? Okay, we'll do that. You know, it's not beyond God to take care of our natural needs in this life. And I actually found myself in a more dangerous position, having neglected these things, than if I'd been upfront about my desires. I wish I had known. I wish I had known that in our personal walk with God, it's not a checklist. It's not a checklist. It's an experience of trust. The more I focused on what I did and how long I did it, did you pray for 45 minutes or an hour, or was it 30 minutes? And oh, I must have fallen short. And, you know, it's so burdensome watching the clock. That's not a relationship. But talking to God as a friend is a relationship. And maybe your personality delights in a checklist. And that's great. Like Martha, you know, you can do all these things and it's wonderful. But it's just as valid to be like Mary and just sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his word and just be in his presence. Sometimes you don't even need to have to say a lot. That is what Jesus called the good part. It's okay. Our relationship with Christ is a relationship, not a list of things to do. What I wish I knew about Ellen White. Ellen White is a dear, inspired human whom we do well to take heed. And she desired that we exercise common sense, especially in applying her writings. I wish I knew what she says here in Three Selected Messages. She's talking to a group of concerned church members who are trying to follow her counsels about starting a school. And she had counseled that, you know, children should, you know, be taught at home for, you know, till they're 10 or till a certain age. And they shouldn't really be in school at that time. And so she writes to these people and she says, this is how it is. And my mind's been greatly stirred in regard to the idea. Why, Sister White has said so-and-so, and Sister White has said so-and-so, and therefore we're going right up to it. She said there shouldn't be kids in school until the age of 10, and so we will not open a school for children under 10. That's where the church had concluded. But the kids were running amok, and their parents didn't know how to teach them at home, or the parents weren't able to teach them at home. They had to work. And so the kids were just running without supervision around town. And it was better for them to have a school where they'd receive Christian instruction than not to have a school at all, because Ellen White had said that it would be better for kids to be taught at home. She says, God wants us all to have common sense, and he wants us to reason from common sense. Circumstances alter conditions. Circumstances change the relation of things. And so as we read her writings, the goal is not to say, Ellen White said this, and we're going right up to it. No questions asked. No, we're to reason from common sense as we apply wisdom, because much of her counsel was for specific situations, and we have to then apply common sense. Well, how does this actually apply to my life? How often have I gone or tried to go right up to the line of keeping her teachings rather than reasoning what would be best based on the situation? I wish I knew that Adventism was an adventure, and we should treat it as such. It's an adventure of learning, things to learn that maybe you'll never know, treasures to be found in the Bible, experiences in ministry, meeting people you may never meet and experience, going on missions. It's an adventure. Remember that. Never think that Adventism is about patterning yourself to look and think like someone who lived 150 years ago. While the faith of our founders, the devotion and consecration of our founders was exemplary, every point of doctrine they held was not error-free. Some denied the Trinity. Others held that sex within marriage must be avoided, or others lost sight of faith and grace until they were dry like the hills of Gilboa in their preaching. Even Ellen White had to gradually learn to accept the grace of God in her early Christian development. One time she felt lost because her life didn't measure up to that of the pious Christian girls she would read about in the Christian books she had at home. How ironic it is that today people like me compare myself to people like Ellen and lament I'll never measure up. Ellen later recognized that these glowing, unbalanced stories could be a hindrance to her faith. She, as I, had to learn to take in Christ for herself and let him work out the unique path he'd prepared for her. Surely no other young woman was asked to do the work she did. It broke the mold. And so, take Adventism as an adventure, but not a call to become just like someone who lived long ago, unless that person is Jesus. I wish I knew that faith is about doing what is in front of you and leaving the results with God. Never limit where providence will lead you in your life. It's leading me to a future I couldn't have asked or imagined. And it just reminds me of God's gracious character. In Isaiah 30:18, he says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all who wait for him." God longs to do more for us than we can ask or think. And so follow the path he's leading. You never know where it will take you. I had no idea my life would take the turns it's taken yet. Finally, I wish I knew that extremism is not a virtue always. "Let your moderation be known to all," says Paul. And the way of lasting peace is often found in moderation. Paul speaks of this. Solomon speaks of this in Ecclesiastes. He says, "Don't be overly righteous or overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Don't be overly wicked or be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It's good that you grasp this and not remove your hand from the other. He who fears God will escape them all." There's a need for balance in our lives. But the Christ-like way is not always to come up to an extreme. These are my Ebenezer stones. So far, the Lord has brought me. But what stones will mark your journey? How will you continue in your life of faith, marked with your own individuality and guided by his Spirit? After that backpacking trip I took with Brian and Teresa, Brian took me aside and he said, "Lauren, I think you had the heaviest pack of everyone." Well, what did I know? I was new, I was inexperienced, and I figured I needed to carry all of this for my survival. So it was in my Adventist journey. I began by burdened by so much of what others thought or what I thought, and I didn't know to trust the freedom of walking in my own individuality in the unique path God has for me. So I ask you today, what erroneous ways of thinking will you remove from your pack to make your way more free? And what teachings of Christ will you be sure to carry with you? This is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I wish I had known this before I started ministry, but some lessons are only learned through experience and mistakes. And I'm stubborn, and I like to test my limits for fear of being weak, but trust and not pride would have saved me from 1,000 perils. So these life lessons I share with you, they're not gospel for you to follow up to the line, but they're perspective to consider from, to learn from. It's the testimony of my own experience, which is the best any one of us can do, is to tell what we've seen and known of God. And I have found God to be incredibly patient, unfathomably gracious, and a world more understanding than I had ever imagined. Will you continue to trust him with your life? Let's pray. Our loving God, thank you that you long to be gracious to us. You rise to show us compassion. help us to walk with you and experience your ways and your lessons that you have to teach one of us, to teach each one of us. Help us each to walk in the path of individuality you have made for us. Let us do it with joy and not judgment of others. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.